Great awakenings bring phenomenal events and outpourings from God that change our world. Today on The Believer's Voice of Victory, Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim reveal that prayer is a vital ingredient for change. Here's Gloria.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Billy Brim's back with us, and we're going to hear some really exciting things that concern us all. The coming of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Coming, you talk about victory.
Victory.
I'm telling you,
hallelujah.
The victorious one.
Welcome, Big.
He is the victorious one, and we're leaving here a victorious church,
right.
A glorious church.
A glorious church.
And before we leave here now, we're looking for, and I'm talking about the United States of America and even other parts of the world, we're looking for an awakening to God.
Amen.
And especially awakening is the church. There's a scripture written to the church, Romans 13:11, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed.
Yes, amen.
It's high time to wake up, Gloria.
I'm awake.
Because Jesus is coming.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
About it,
really. That's what the scripture tells you. Wake up.
We waited for it. And
yes.
Here it is.
And we're going to have an awakening.
Yeah.
Now, we've been teaching on awakening. We've been talking about how God gave us the prayer challenge at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks and how we spread it around the world.
Yeah.
When he broke in upon us that day and said, one thing will save America, and it is not the election. It is an awakening to God.
Right.
One thing will
One
avail
thing.
For Israel and the nations. It is an awakening to God. And that day he put thoughts through my head. Study American history. The best person in the world could be elected president, but no good if the people do not awaken to God. Now, when all of that's going on back in 2008, 2009, that's when we were really, really just teaching on this everywhere. Brother Kenneth Copeland, I got a little clip. I'm a partner, and I got this little clip, you know, this little video, and it happened right here, probably in this studio, on April 15th, 2009. Kenneth Copeland was taping a BVOV television broadcast with David Barton to be aired in July of 2009. Suddenly, as the Holy Spirit came upon him, Brother Copeland stopped teaching, put his hand upon his chest, and prophesied. This is the time that has been prophesied about. And at stake here is not only your welfare in the land, but also my move in the end times of a great awakening, saith the Lord. And it is that awakening that will save this land and others like it. For it is the time of the coming of the Lord,
right.
And you will rise up and you will be my name. You will be my power. And I will manifest myself through you, and many shall come and say, surely he is the God of all good. There is an awakening in here, it says, that will save this nation. We're looking for it. We believe it's already started.
Praise
but
God.
Remember that when God told me to pray in an awakening, not just me, but the people that I could minister to and affect, he said, study history. American history. And I found out that America was born in a great awakening and that God has sustained it through with other awakenings to God. But before we were the United States of America, of course, he began, America began through the faith of the pilgrims and the Puritans. David Manuel said in their book, The Light and the Glory, the Puritans were the people who more than any other made possible America's foundation as a Christian nation. So we've gone on last week and we've talked about that foundation that was laid by the people who came here from England in the northern, the Mayflower, and those who gave us the beginnings of our governments in those early governings of themselves. Now, an interesting thing happened. We had the pilgrims came. But Eddie Hyatt, and I really like Eddie Hyatt, I know him personally, but he's also a very well-educated historian as well as a very spiritual man. He's got a couple of new books. One of them is Pilgrims and Patriots. And he writes in there, a wise man once said, God has no grandchildren. In other words, there's no automatic or formal passing of genuine faith from one generation to the next. Each generation must know and experience God for itself. Brother Lester Sumrall said, every generation has to be evangelized. The truth is clearly seen in the early American experience as the first generation passed from the scene and the children and grandchildren of those first pilgrims began to establish themselves in the society, which was the New World. In spite of hardships, the early ones, the pilgrims, the first generation, even the second, the immigrants to America were warm and vibrant in their faith and passionate in their vision for a revival of New Testament Christianity, and they wanted to be a city on a hill. They wanted to be an example to Europe of what it could be if you founded a society upon the Bible. That was their aim. That was their purpose. That was what they did, their every move. They prayed about everything. We went into that last week. But the grandchildren, however, while retaining many of the outward forms of worship and doctrine, tended to lose the vitality and visions of their parents and grandparents. And they developed in their churches what the New Testament calls a form of godliness without having the power thereof.
Power.
And so that's what it became like. And in this same book, he writes, by the end of the century, Winthrop's vision of New England being a shining light and a city on a hill for the churches of Europe seemed very dim indeed. Not only were many of the existing churches in America spiritually dead, but in many other areas because of rapid growth and a rapid population coming here, and the move westward, and they went out, and maybe they don't have any neighbors around, and there's a bad roads between them, and so they lose what they had.
Yeah.
And most of them are unchurched. They're any on the far frontiers, they don't even have a church in their area.
You have to stay in contact with God.
That's
or
right.
You can't stay.
You have to stay in contact
that's
with
right.
Him. And that living contact with Him, Gloria, had done what they call in the light and the glory, lulled. It had begun to lull. One pastor said of the churches of that time, they're dead and barren. The spiritual condition of the populace was so bleak that those who remembered and had heard began to call for special time of prayers. And I found that in every awakening, America was born out of a great awakening. And in every subsequent one, it started with prayer. And if we're going to have a great
contact
awakening now, contact with God. That's what prayer is, Gloria.
That's right.
Has many forms. It's all doing business with God.
Mm-hmm.
But the primary one is you yourself having a daily contact with God.
That's right.
And then He works down through you, through your mouth, through your utterance, through what you say.
And then he affects the world and the people around you, because now you're a light in a dark world. You're a fire for God.
Absolutely. You know, Gloria,
you give somebody out there in the world something to see.
A light,
yeah.
Like you said.
That's right.
A fire.
Mm-hmm.
And as you are very, very fervent in your prayers.
Not to mention how much better off you are.
Not to mention how it helps you.
Yeah.
But you know, Gloria, as they saw this state, the people began to seek the Lord and call annual fast days.
Praise God.
And the governments of the cities and of the people would call for a fast. And so it began that the people were praying. And as they prayed, and we want to take this as instructions to us. We're going to have an awakening here. We've got to pray.
That's right.
Prayer preceded the great awakening out of which the United States was born. And the great awakening came. In my study of the great awakening, like the Lord told me to do that day in the prayer room, I found that academia, the colleges, the Ivy League schools, as far away as they've gotten from their beginnings, in their teaching of history that was right, they acknowledged that the great awakening, America was born out of the great awakening. One Harvard professor that I read after said that one cannot understand the colonial society that brought about the American Revolution without a study of the Great Awakening. And so that's what we're going to do today.
Good.
We're going to study the Great Awakening.
Great.
Now, some of the peoples that were stirred to pray were a pastor named Jonathan Edwards and his wife, Sarah. Edwards had descended from Puritan stock. He was the pastor of a congregational church in Southampton, Massachusetts. The Long Meadow Historical Society website. Now, you know this is not a church website. It's a historical society website. And I found an article on there entitled, The Great Awakening and Its Effect on the Society and Religion of the Connecticut River Valley by Megan McCormick. So that tells you from the long title that this is an academic piece. And I'm going to read you what that article said on their website. The Great Awakening was a religious movement during the 1730s and 40s. Now, you got to figure now this is about 30 years before 1776. So the Great Awakening starts about 30 years before the Revolution. The Great Awakening was a religious movement during the 1730s and 1740s in which itinerant ministers, preachers, presented powerful messages of salvation and which provided early Americans with a greater sense of nationality. One of the most notable points of origin was in the Connecticut River Valley under the leadership of Jonathan Edwards. The Great Awakening brought about a change of values that affected politics and daily life. These attitudes were the beginnings of a sense of independence and equality that would set the stage for the American Revolution. And as the spirit of independence was proclaimed in the colonies by the Declaration of Independence, it was often the local clergy who rose to read to their congregation the words of that document which would spark independence in America. So 30 years before the Revolutionary War, 30 and 40 years before, God starts moving upon the preachers in answer to the prayers. So Jonathan Edwards was one of the ones who's so amazing to read about. I'm going to read to you from this book, The Light and the Glory. This book, The Light and the Glory, by Peter Marshall and David Manuel. It really shook this nation well, Christians among this nation. One man I know, you remember Jay, my pilot, that I used to have? Anyway, he came to God after reading this book. And this book is about God's plan for America. And of course, patriotic people, they want to hear that God has a plan for America.
Amen.
And so God raised up a generation of clergymen, preachers, who would help to prepare America spiritually for the fight of her life. And that was the fight of her life, that Revolutionary War. He awakened that desire in them, and he's going to reawaken it again. Remember that prophecy we read that Brother Copeland gave? We've got one awakening coming out of which God is going to save this nation.
Praise God.
I'm reading from The Light and the Glory now. In 1734, the spiritual lightning began to strike New England, and nothing short of a series of divine lightning bolts could have awakened this slumbering Christian giant. And this man, Jonathan Edwards... Oh, I love to read about Jonathan Edwards. You know, he preached that sermon, Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. I found this online. I'm reading from my book on... I'm putting together a book from All About the Awakening here. That's
good.
What my new book's about. But these are my letters I wrote to the partners when we were praying for an awakening. And this is from Wake Forest University. This is a lecture. Academia again. And www.wfu.edu. And this is what they report. Edwards has received a bad press for his Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. But if you read his sermons, you will find that he spoke quietly, reasonably, and logically. Indeed, he was dry and even a bit boring. But he began to experience a harvest of conversions that were accompanied by exaggerated behavior. People would shout, and run and fall when they were converted. But yeah. Jonathan Edwards, you see, It was his prayers
That's
and his wife's prayers.
Exaggerated.
Yeah. Exaggerated activity. That's the way academia said it. Exaggerated activity really was caused by the presence of God. But Jonathan Edwards, I read about him in several different places. He wrote out every sermon. He stood behind his podium and would never move. He never looked the faces of the people. He looked at the back wall. And he held his notes. He was nearsighted. So he held his notes so clear, so up close to his face that the congregation couldn't even see his face at times when he's delivering the sermon. But these powerful things begin to happen, which only can happen when, God's presence, and it isn't an awakening. That's always what happens. There is God's presence.
So if he'd been on TV, this is what you'd have seen.
That's right. And he read in a monotone. He determined to read in a monotone. And the Lord said, da, 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 da. It was all in a monotone. Can you imagine? And before the awakening and the outpouring, people...
It's a wonder there wasn't an awakening.
The people didn't
asleep.
They were asleep and didn't even listen to him. Yeah. But when the awakening started, as a result of prayers, and they write in here, anyone who knew Edwards personally would know these phenomenal events could not have happened and been the product of his personality. For whatever reason, but the lightning did strike, and no one was more astonished than Edwards himself.
Wow.
And he writes, he chronicles, it was in the latter part of December that the Spirit of God began extraordinarily to work amongst us. There were very suddenly, one after another, first five and then six persons, who were to all appearances savingly converted, and some of them wrought upon in a very remarkable manner. They fell off their chairs while he was preaching. Particularly, I was surprised with the relation of a young woman. She'd been one of the loosest in town. They were worried about their young people, and she was one of the loosest. You can imagine what that means.
Yeah.
But he said, by the conversation I had with her, it appeared to me that when she gave an account, it was a glorious work of God's infinite power and sovereign grace, and that God had given her a new heart, truly broken and sanctified. God made it, I suppose, the greatest occasion of awakening to others of anything that ever came to pass in this town. The news of it seemed to almost like a flash of lightning move upon all the other young people. And it was through Jonathan Edwards' writings that the term awakening came. He called it an awakening. Presently, upon this great and earnest concern about the great things of religion and the eternal world became universal in all parts of the town and among persons of all degrees and all ages. Those that were wont to be the vainest and loosest, and those that had been the most disposed to think and speak slightly of religious things. The work of conversion was carried out upon them in an astonishing manner and increased more and more, and souls did, as it were, come by flocks to Jesus Christ. The work of God, as it was carried on, and the number of true saints multiplied soon, made a glorious alteration in the town. So that in the spring and summer following the year of our Lord, 1735, the town seemed to be full of the presence of God.
Praise God. It never
was so full of love nor so full of joy. There were remarkable tokens of God's presence in almost every house. It was a time of joy and rejoicing. The goings of God were seen in His sanctuary. God's day was a delight, His tabernacles amiable. Our public assemblies were beautiful. The congregation was alive in God's service. And then people started coming in. They started coming in from other towns because they were urban. What happened in these towns? They came in to scoff. And they went back convinced, because when they came into this town of Southampton, Massachusetts, the presence of God was like a blanket and covered them.
Praise God. They took
it back. He names all the places that they took it back to. And as they took it back, then it spread. It began to spread all over New England. It began to spread. Other preachers picked it up. And the Tennants, you know, the Tennant family I think his name was William Tennant and his sons. They preached the Great Awakening. Preacher after preacher. It was the preachers that brought the Great Awakening, out of which the United States government was born.
Right.
And we're going to, though there were lots of preachers with the anointing of God upon them, and the presence were moving out, God's anointing was greatest upon one man, and he was an Englishman named George Whitfield.
George Whitfield.
And when God called him to America, he gave him a charge that there could be raised up one nation under God. When George Whitfield was in England, he came in contact with the Wesleys. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow. We're going to talk about the amazing ministry of George Whitfield.
That's so awesome, Billy. Think about it.
The preachers.
Think about an outpouring. You can have moves of God, but an outpouring touches everybody.
Yes.
I mean, if we had an outpouring in here, if the sprinkler system went off today, we would have an outpouring.
Good analogy.
And it would touch everybody in here.
Great analogy. And you know, Gloria, I don't have it right at hand to read to you today, but I read in my studying of awakenings, this man from Ireland wrote, there's a difference between revival and awakenings. Revival is a visitation of God upon God's people, and it affects God's people, and then people come into the church. But an awakening is such a visitation over a wide area that it affects the whole of society, and it changes and alters culture. And that's what happened with the outpouring, like you said, of the Great Awakening. It was like a giant sprinkler system.
You could say that the outpouring and the way we were looking at it, it touches everybody. And it awakens everybody.
It awakens them.
Yeah.
Gloria, in every case of the awakenings, people don't even have to be in the church. They can be out there and they'll fall down under the power of God.
I could see that.
It happened in Lewis Island. Right. It happened in Ireland. Northern Ireland had a great... There was a man in Northern Ireland. This is one story, and we'll talk about this later. But he was a farmer, and he had gone to town to sell his crops. He came back counting his money, and the power of God fell on him. He fell on the ground, his silver scattered everywhere, and he cried out to God, convicted he was a sinner and on his way to hell.
We're out of time, Billy.
We're almost out of time until Jesus comes, too.
Yeah. Billy and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.